All right, folks, we're going to be looking at lesson 7 today. We're going to be talking about conduct and the new birth. And we're going to be focusing on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. So if you remember, we've been talking about how you and I are to be living out the new birth that we have experienced in Christ that Peter has already talked to us about. We've gone through the whole issue of you and I being citizens, of functioning with each other in this world, even unbelievers, even as slaves, and our relationship with our masters. Now he's going to be talking about some further conduct that you and I need to be engaged with, and it has to do with how we are engaged with each other as believers. So why don't we start, first of all, with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and we're going to see a command here. So I want you to notice what Peter writes. He says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." All right, so we're going to focus, first of all, in our first section here, on the issue of the command. So let's talk about where he's directing this command. So what we see from 1 Peter is that in verse 8, when he says the word finally, he's kind of closing out his argument here as he's getting towards the end of his letter. But here it is. Peter directs this command to every believer. So when he's writing this, he's directing it to everyone who's reading this letter, which would include you and I. Now, what exactly is he commanding us? Well, what we see here, look at what it says. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. So Peter commands all believers to live in harmony with each other. So notice there, he's talking about a unity, but not just a superficial unity, but a unity of mind, that is, our thinking. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be united in who we root for or who we vote for, but basically it's a unity of mind in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our salvation. And so it's talking there about you and I being in harmony with each other spiritually. Now, what we want to focus on the rest of our time now is expanding that command, which is what he does, again, in verses 8 through 12. So we're going to see the expanse of that command. So I want you to notice with me, again, verse 8. We'll start in the middle of the verse after he tells us to have unity of mind. Here's what he writes. Sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humbled mind. Do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look here now and expand this command. After he's told us to be in harmony with each other, he's going to expand it now to talk about what that harmony needs to look like. Okay, so first of all, that it needs to be one of compassion or sympathy. We see that in verse 8. So we are to live in harmony, having sympathetic compassion towards each other. So we need to strive to be sympathetic with each and every person. Now, the reality is that in and of ourselves as human beings is very difficult for you and I to do, because we might look at somebody and yeah, we might want to be sympathetic towards them, but we also might be thinking to ourselves, well, they made that decision, or this is the result of their actions, or if they hadn't have made these choices, this wouldn't have happened. And so we often find ourselves in our humanness wanting not to be sympathetic with them, in fact, wanting to stay away from them. But as believers, we are called to be sympathetic. We're to have compassion to them. In fact, it actually goes beyond just feeling for them, because that's sometimes what we think of. Well, I feel for you. Well, it's got to go beyond that. So here's the second point I want you to see on this issue of compassion. It means a willingness and responsiveness to share in one another's burdens. See, the scriptures call us to not just recognize and be sympathetic or feel for someone. It means that you and I need to be willing to do something about it or respond to it or share in their burden, help them to carry it, help alleviate it from them. And as I mentioned before, just the whole issue of having compassion and sympathy is difficult. It's even more difficult to do something about it. Now, when we get to, again, verse 8, the next point is the whole issue of being loving or brotherly love. So we're to express love towards each other as brothers, familial. That is, we are close to each other because we're family. And so that, again, is difficult, but we're called to do that. In fact, if you think about it, the scriptures tell us over and over to love one another. Then we get, again, continuing with that list of what he's telling us as he's trying to explain this whole issue of being in unity of one mind. He then tells us in verse 8, he tells us to have a tender heart. We're to be tender-hearted. And again, we are to be conscious of each other's need. So rather than being prideful and focused on ourselves, we need to have a tender heart to hear the pain of others and be willing to do something about it. That's the reality of what he's talking about here with that. It also means having a drive to meeting those needs. So again, it's not just the recognition, but it's a call to action beyond that. It's to do something about it. And then also now, last part of verse 8, Peter writes, and a humble mind. So we're talking about being courteous or humility. So here's what I want you to see. It means having a honest estimate of self before God and each other. You know, so I'm reminded of that great quote from the late evangelist in England and in the early colonies in the U.S., George Whitefield, who was walking through a town square in England and was witnessing a public execution. And he, seeing the man being led to the gallows, said to himself, "There but for the grace of God go I." And that's really a great assessment that I and you are no better than anyone else. Given the right circumstances, the right situation, who's to say that we wouldn't do the same thing? This is the reality that you and I live in. It's the exact opposite of pride. It's humility. And as believers, we need to have this humility because we recognize that I'm a child of God, not because of me or there's something special about me. I'm a child of God because of the grace of Jesus Christ and that he reached out and he saved me. So it means having an honest estimate of yourself. And here, Peter says, a humble mind. So it's a thinking of humility that marks us. Now, when we get to verse 9 through 12, we're going to see that we're to be non-retaliatory. So that means we don't react. So I want you to notice with me what he says in verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right, so let's take a look at this. We're to be non-retaliatory. So when we see the exhortation in verse 9, it's really that you and I need to have an unnatural response. Here's what it is. We are called to lay aside the natural urge to retaliate. That is true with each and every one of us. Our natural inclination is to react, respond to anything that hurts us. So if you see a mosquito flying around you and it lands on your arm, our natural reaction is to smack it, is to kill it before it does harm to you. So the reality is that you and I have to, as believers, fight that natural reaction. Instead, we're called to bless those who hurt us. Isn't that amazing? You and I are called to bless the very people who hurt us. But isn't that what Jesus called us to do, is to love our enemies? Now, again, in verse 9, he gives us the reason. We have been called to this and recognize our future blessing. So two things. That is the reason. Number one, this is our calling. We're to live this life and not react to those who do us wrong, but to what? Bless them. And then here's the other thing. We're to recognize our future blessing. Our blessing isn't now. It isn't that we can acquire or get something for us now or make life better for us now. Maybe that can happen. A lot of times it doesn't. But the reality is we have a future blessing with him, and that's where our focus is. So with that exhortation to not respond in a retaliatory way that is natural to us, but to give an unnatural response, he's going to explain it from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, where he quotes Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. And here's what the psalmist writes. It's an exact quote. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Okay, so let's take a look here and see exactly why he is quoting this and what he wants us to see. So in verse 10, we're going to see the general focus of the verses that he's giving us here. So here's what Peter's doing. This is directed to God's people as they enjoy this earthly life. So when he's quoting this, notice what he said, whoever desires to love life and see good days. So if that's what we're wanting, and to be honest with you, that is describing us. Nobody wants to live in ministry. We want to enjoy life. We want to see good days. He's telling us to do certain things. He's going to give us some proper conduct that we need to engage in. So again, in verse 10, here's what he says. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So he's talking about our tongue. So we are to control our speech and stop lying. That's the reality. You and I are to get control of our tongues. Because let's be honest, if we're wanting to live in harmony with people, if we're wanting to live peaceable lives and pursue a good life, it's our mouths that get us into trouble. In fact, James says that the tongue is a fire. It's uncontrolled and it devours. Now, when you get to verse 11, here's what he writes again. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So this is about our action. So we're to pursue good and peace rather than evil. So that's where our focus needs to be. We need to be focused on doing good and seeking peace among people rather than evil, which comes out of our selfish desires. So then that brings us to verse 12, where Peter says in the closing part of his quoting Psalm 34, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, for his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." It's a guiding principle, and there's two things I want you to see there. The Lord is aware of everything that happens in believers' lives. Actually, we could say he's aware of everything that happens in everybody's life. So there's nothing hidden. His eyes are on the righteous. That's believers. They're on the righteous. And he sees everything that's happening with us. And he's listening for our prayers. That to me is amazing. So it's not like God doesn't have time for me or he's not interested in me. He's listening to our prayers. He's listening for them. He's waiting to talk to us. But we need to pursue him. Here's the second thing. The Lord is against those who do evil. Notice what it says. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And I think this is pretty good for you and I as believers to understand. Because sometimes we can find ourselves in selfish modes where we do wrong things. And it's not like we're exempt. Oh, you say, am I going to hell, George? No, it's not that we're going to hell. But we're not exempt from the disciplining hand of God in our life, that he would get us back on the right track where we seek good and peace. Because he's against those who do evil. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing this is how you and I need to be in our conduct with each other. So next week, we're going to proceed right on with chapter 8. And what we're going to focus on now is, again, how we need to be in our behavior as part of the new birth.